We're continuing our journey through the book of Ephesians today. And in our journey, we are in the walk portion of Ephesians. Remember, you could break up Ephesians into three parts: sit, walk, stand. And the very first three chapters were all focused where Paul, you don't see Paul giving commands, do this or not, don't do this. You just see Paul unfolding the incredible love and grace of God, of who we are in Christ. And so in a sense, we're sitting at God's feet, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in everything we are about who we are in Christ, that we are saints, we are holy ones, we have been redeemed, purchased by God. We are now adopted children. He's given us the Holy Spirit. All that is in heaven is ours in Christ. And it goes on and on, the first three chapters of who we are in Christ. And so over the weeks, we have been going through the first three chapters. And this is so important. Don't forget the sitting. If we aren't growing in our understanding of who we are and God's love, that God loves us no matter what we've done or what we will do, He loves us, He pursues us, He's for us, He's on our side, He wants us to come to Him. His arms are always open. Even if we do things that He does not approve, His arms are open to us. We need to know that. We need to be rooted and grounded in love. Because if we don't know that about God, if we aren't growing in God's love and in His grace, it's like Christianity, it's like spinning your tires. Have you ever been in snow and you got stuck? You can't get out? I remember I was up in Colorado, and I asked my boss, you know, at the company, I needed chains, and he'd never give us chains for our vehicles when I did heat and air conditioning. And I went way up in a mountain, up in the mountains, and I was going down this road, fixed the heat, went up, and that road was just you couldn't get enough momentum. You go, and you get momentum, and there was a sharp turn going just like this up. So right when you get going, you come and slide, and I got stuck, I couldn't get up. We had to get a tow truck to come up. It kept sliding. And this last Monday, I think it was Monday or Tuesday this week, I was at a new construction job. We're doing heating and air conditioning. I was doing some repairs with another guy. And we were finished our repairs. He told me a backup because a guy was parked behind him. And I backed up right into the mud. I got stuck. So the guy had to pull a chain to get me out and all that. But our Christian walk it's very similar in our Christian walk. As long as we don't understand and are growing deep into God's love and who we are in Christ, it's like spinning our tires. We'll never grow into maturity. We'll never grow up. We'll always be baby Christians that never grow into maturity. We need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Because there are a lot of people who are stuck in their sins and they can't get out. Why? Because they don't know who. They don't know what Christ did for them. They don't know who and what He did on the cross for them. But when a person, we're going through a three-month challenge of spending time with God. When a person begins to come to church to get that kind of a boost, that's kind of like a little bit of gas. And when throughout the week, as you spend time with God and you spend time in prayer, you begin to grow and grow and get to understand God's love and who you are. It will change your life. It will change your life. Then you can walk effectively. If we don't know how to sit properly and listen and grow strong, we cannot walk. Now, then we went to chapter 4, which entered into the walk section. And I talked about in the beginning of Ephesians 4, I mentioned that God's telling us it's time to stop being babies. It's time to grow up into maturity. And we talked about that in the first portion of Ephesians 4. And then last week, I finished Ephesians 4 about walking. And what I talked about Ephesians 4 was that battle that we have inside of us. It's like the devil here, the angel here. You see those comic strips. And I talked about the old self and the new self and that struggle that we all have. And I talked about how one way that we can overcome those temptations and that struggle, that battle between God
and our new self and the old self and the devil is to renew our mind. It's to fill our mind, to spend time with God's Word, fill our mind with His Word, to talk to God in prayer, to hang out with God's people, to pick your friends closely, find friends that know God that can rub off and have a good influence on you. And I also talked about how we can guard our mind, that we need to guard our mind from the things we watch, the things we read, the things we listen to. To protect our mind, because the battle takes place in the mind. And now we come to chapter 5 as we continue to walk. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read first one. Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Therefore, be imitators of God.
I don't know. Does that feel kind of like impossible?
Imitate God. What does imitate mean? Anybody? When you think of imitate, what does that mean? Act like. Anybody else? Imitate. Okay, someone else's identity. Different definitions I came across. Copy. Mimic. Reflect. Echo. It's like a child with a parent. Unfortunately, they do what we say, and they do what we do. Do your kids ever do that? You see them, and you know, I used to get so frustrated at video games when I was a kid. My dad still reminds me of that this today. And what do? I see my son, and he gets all frustrated about video games. They pick up things that we don't want them to pick up. They mimic us. It always confuses me when a parent gets upset at their kid for swearing. When they swear. I just don't get that. Why would you you're not old enough yet. They're just mimicking. They're just copying you. I mean, do you guys remember the Christmas story? That with Ralphie, they have a flat tire, and Ralphie goes out to help his dad. His mom sends him out. And so his dad gives him the hubcap, and he's holding it, and he's throwing the nuts in as he's changing the tire, trying to see how fast he can do it. And as he does it, he comes over, he goes up, and he hits that pan out of Ralphie's hands, and you see the nuts kind of whoop. And Ralphie goes, oh, fudge. And we know that's not what he said. But then, he gets his mouth washed out with soap, right? But when Ralphie makes up and accuses, when his mom asks him who he heard that word from, he just had to come up with a name because he knew he heard it from his dad. But he knew he'd be in trouble saying, I learned it from dad. So he said, oh! And he said his friend's name. His friend gets punished for it, and he gets punished for it. But it's because his dad always swore. Why was he shocked? Our kids do what they say, what we do, they say what we say. I can remember Calton one time. It was years ago. He used to kind of, do you guys ever bite your nail? Or bite your skin? That, I fall into that. I go through seasons. If I drive a lot, one time Calton was starting, and he had all this nervous habit. He'd bite his fingers, and what's going on? And one time, Di said, Calton! Why do you do that? His response was, Daddy do it. Right? We imitate. Kids imitate their parent. Or here's another example. You guys ever have pictures? You go to these special copy machines. Talk about imitate, the idea of copying someone. You take a picture. Now you could get pictures and you could photocopy and print them, and they look just like a picture now. You take something and you put it in a machine, and it copies it, and it comes out just like the picture. depending on the type of printer you use. In a similar way, we are to copy God in the way we live our lives. We are to imitate God. We are to follow God and do what God does, but we are to copy what He does, just like we do when we copy a picture in a copy machine. Or have you ever, or here's another illustration, have you ever seen kids that mimic each other? Oh man, my kids go went through that phase. Oh, it's irritating. Leave me alone. Olivia goes, Olivia, leave me alone. Olivia, stop it. She's just doing it totally to irritate Kelton. It's the mimicking. Oh, it just drives me crazy. In a similar way, but different way, we are to mimic God, imitate God in our lives. What He does, we do. What He wants, what He says, we say. Or have you ever gone to a lake? Now here in Kentucky, I'm sorry, your lakes are pretty dirty looking. Yeah. I mean, I think if you wanted to see your reflection, you might be able to see the outline a little bit. But in my home state from years ago, in Washington, they're pristine. I mean, they, of course, come right off the glaciers and the mountains. They are clear and clean. You almost want to drink. I mean, just clear and clean. And so you come and you go up and you can look at it and you can see a clear reflection. A clear reflection. When people see you and I, do they see a clear reflection of God? I don't like that. That's kind of convicting a little bit. Do they see reflection of God? Or another illustration of imitate. Have you ever gone somewhere, if it's a big room, a big canyon, where there's an echo? Hey! You'll get a little echo here. Have you ever had where it repeats? Hey! Hi! We've been places where there's echoes. It's really cool in a canyon. I've been a lot of places around the world, overseas. I've been all the different places. But you know what? I love to go to the Grand Canyon. I bet you there's places in the Grand Canyon. You go, hey! You see echoes. So when I say today about we are called to imitate God, I want us to think of we are called to be God's echo. When God says, boom, we do God's echo. Are we God's echo? When people hear us, do they hear the echo of God in our lives? We are God's echo. Let's continue in Ephesians 5. Beginning verse, I'll do one and one again. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or whose covetousness, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, how are we to echo God? Here, he really, if you look at the overall theme, God has called us to be children of light. You ever go someplace where it's real dark, a cave where there is no light coming through? We used to do the ape caves up in Washington, and we would play that game of shutting off our lights and see how far we can go. And we would scream as we would hit rock, ow, ow, I mean, it's pitch black because there's no way any light could get in. God has called us not to walk in darkness or walk where we cannot see, but to be children of light. We are to echo God. I mean, listen, but how does being children of light echo God? It says in 1 John 1:5, listen to this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. Here we see John describing the moral purity, the holiness of God. In God, he's perfectly pure. He's perfectly holy. God is light. And we are called to be children of light. We are to imitate. We are to echo God. So let's talk for a moment about what it means to be a child of light. As a child of light, in this passage, it says we are to echo God's love to one another. Verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Are we loving one another? Are we the product of love, forgiveness, kindness? Are we loving one another as Christ is? Are we echoing God's love amongst each other? A love that's not only in words, but in action. There are many in the church, I love you, but there's a need. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we loving one another? Are we echoing God's love in the things that we do and say to each other? Are we honoring our brother and sister in Christ? Men, are you honoring the women, the ladies here, as daughters of the King, of who they are in Christ? And ladies, are you honoring the men as sons of the Almighty God? Are you echoing God's love to one another? So first, as children of light, we are to echo God's love. Also, as children of light, we are to echo a heart of thanksgiving. Are you a thankful person? Have you ever been around someone who's always thankful, even about the bad things? It's almost like it changes lens. If you're always negative, begin to be thankful. Start thinking of the things that you can be thankful. There's that song, what's that old song? You count your blessings, name them one by one. You know, life is dreary, then start count your blessings and see what God has done. Are you a thankful person? When people see you, do you echo thankfulness? Even in everything you face, are you echoing thankful? Are you a thankful person? God, I'm thankful I'm alive. God, I thank you that I have a mom. I'm thankful, God, I have a dad. I'm thankful that I have a house to sleep in. You can find something to be thankful in. I'm mainly thankful that God sent his son to die for me. That is the greatest thankfulness that I can think of. My second one is my wife, that God brought me an amazing wife. Are you echoing God's
a person of thankfulness, a heart of thanksgiving. Because he says in verse 4, let there be thanksgiving. And then in verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything in God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Are you echoing a heart of thanksgiving? As a child of light, do we echo a life that pleases God? He says in verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to God. How do you know it's pleasing to God? I feel this is pleasing to God. I like this, so it must be pleasing to God. How do we know what's pleasing to God? God's Word. We dig into God's Word to know God. We dig into God's Word to know what pleases God. We dig into God's Word to know what doesn't please God. We come to know Him, we love Him, we obey Him. God's Word, when we read it, we pray that God gives us understanding. It's a big book, and I do this. I mean, I even look at it and go, oh, that's kind of intimidating if you aren't used to reading God's Word. No, don't try to read the whole thing right now. Pick a book. If you never read God's Word, read Matthew. Psalm. I love Psalm. Amen. Diana loves Ruth. Esther, ladies. Esther's a great book. Find one book. Okay, this is intimidating. Read God's Word. We dig into it. Little baby steps, remembering our growth with Him. And then we discover His love. We discover who we are. It empowers us to walk. Are we echoing a life that pleases God? How do we please God? It's in His Word. It tells us how to please Him. Thankfulness pleases Him. Faith that He'll provide for you pleases Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith pleases God. So how do we please God? We know His Word. His Word teaches us on what pleases God. Do you echo a life that pleases God? Also, as children of light, we are to echo the wisdom of God. In verse 15, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Are you a person of wisdom? Do you echo God's wisdom? The way you live. Do you need wisdom? Woohoo! I do all the time. Do I need guidance? If we are to echo God's wisdom, but I need wisdom, I need guidance, what do we do? What does James 1:5 says? We look to His Word, right? Before I even met Diana, God gave me a word from the Lord, from His Word. So when Diana came along, I knew she was the one for me. When I read that verse where in the story of Joseph, it says that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gave him a wife. God said to me, I was probably 28, 29, read, when you're 30 years old, you're going to find the one you spend your life with. It happened. So God uses His Word, but what else does He say? If we need wisdom and guidance and we're to echo God's wisdom, what do? We ask for wisdom. It says in James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. We ask, we pray, we ask for wisdom, and 90% of the time, it seems like He uses His Word. Yes, He can use other people. Yes, He can use circumstances. But one of the most reliable way for God to lead us is through His Word. And if He ever tries to lead you some other way that is contrary to His Word, it's not God. Right? Oh, maybe that woman you marry, your wife, oh, maybe she wasn't the one God chose for you. But that girl looks pretty good over there. Oh, that's not God. That's the devil. That's your flesh. That's the old self. So are you echoing the wisdom of God? If you need wisdom, pray and ask God. Also, as children of light, we are to echo the will of God. Listen to verse 17. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do we reflect God's will for our lives? Do you know what?
every one of us, God has a special plan for you. Doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. He loves you so much that he has a plan, and he wants you to echo his plan for your life. Do you know what God's word says in Psalm 139? That the days are written about you before you're even born. Me? No way, not me, not bad sinner me. Yes. And he wants to echo. Just let me echo. Just echo me. Just follow with me. And I have an incredible plan for your life. But just give me your life, though. If you try to do it on your own, you're not going to get there. I can help you. Let me. Just let me lead you and guide you. He wants you to echo the will. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Ask him. Look in his word. Give it time. He will unravel his will. You know, getting to God's word sounds very difficult at first, because the devil hates it. Our flesh doesn't like it either. If you start reading God's word and you haven't, it's going to be a battle. But you begin to fight through it. It's like finding a treasure. Going on an island. Oh, there's no way I can find this treasure. Oh, no, it's too hard to find. And you begin to look until you begin to find pieces of treasure hidden. When you get into God's word, the same thing. It may seem so overwhelming. Like, I don't understand it. And confusion comes to your mind. You know, one of the things that's going to happen to you if you haven't read God's word, and even if you do read God's word, what's going to happen? Thoughts will come in your mind. Accusations. Oh, you've done this. Why are you reading? God can't do anything with you because you've done this. You think that's God? It's the devil. He's trying to discourage you because he knows if you get to God's word and you discover who you are and you're empowered to walk, he's in trouble. God wants to unfold you to echo the will he has for your life. Are you allowing God to guide you? I remember one time as a kid, I don't remember how old I was. I think if I was living at that house, I must have been 18 or whatever. And I remember one time asking God, teach me to be led by your spirit. And I remember he took me to a scripture. And it says, scripture said something like, if you commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him and he will do it. And I remember the Lord just whispered to me, ask me and I will do it. And I still remind the Lord, that was so many years ago. I still remind the Lord, teach me to be led by your spirit. And I kind of remind the Lord in my mind, remember years ago you said, ask me and I'll do it. Teach me to be led by your spirit. And in the last part of being a child of light, we are to echo a life filled with the spirit. It says in verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. As children of light, we need help, and we have the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Jesus and you've made him your Lord, Scripture tells us that you are God's dwelling place. God, the eternal God that cannot be confined in a building, lives in you and me. He, as Jesus said, is our helper, our comforter, our guide, the Spirit of truth. He lives inside of us. And as children of life, we know that we're not alone. That even in the pits of despair, of defeat and temptation, and we fail, he's there. And as we're there, as we follow him, as we begin to listen to him, we become an echo. We kind of walk in the Spirit's footsteps. And we begin to walk and imitate God. Are we echoing a life filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you saying, God, fill me with a fresh touch of your Spirit. I need your Spirit in my life. I cannot do it alone. So would you say today, are you walking as a child of light? Are we all there? No. Are we all failing? Yes. But are you taking baby steps as walking as a child of light? That's the key. Making steps towards God. Or are you walking as a child of darkness? I know this can be uncomfortable to talk about, yet we need to learn to be honest with ourselves. There are so many people that profess, I'm a Christian. Yet they don't live as a child of light. So are they a Christian? I mean, honest, we need to be honest. We're in a culture where people are like, oh, people at church are hypocrites. They're all faking it. People are looking for authentic people. Are we being authentic? Are we really looking at ourselves as we are and saying, hey, am I a child of light or am I walking as a child of darkness? Because if we really look at it, we may discover that maybe we're a counterfeit Christian. We're not real. There's people in the Bible Belt. I don't know how many people. She's like, everybody thinks they're a Christian, but they live just what they want to live. They don't live what God wants. They live what the hell they want. So are they a Christian at all? He says, a child of light, we are to walk a life that pleases God. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian doesn't struggle or fall into darkness. But the big difference is this. You know what the key is between a true believer and one that's not? God won't let you keep doing what you're doing. You aren't going to be okay with it. Amen. So a big difference is, hey, if I could do this, I may feel a little guilt, but I'm going to just keep doing it. It's no big deal. The Spirit won't let you do that. Because if you're echoing the life of the Spirit's inside you, and He's not going to let you. He's going to hound you until you deal with that area of your life. So I'm not saying, well, if you see some of these areas of darkness I'm going to talk about, oh no, that doesn't mean I'm saved. No, but if you continue to do something, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you, and you're going to have to deal with that sometime in your life. You may feel guilt, but God will drive you. He'll drive you to repentance. What's repentance?
Okay,
that's darkness. God's light.
Repentance. Go towards lightness. Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I've done this error in my life. I now, through your help, your Spirit, I go towards light.
Repentance. Listen to David's struggle with sin. This is a difference, I think, between a genuine Christian and a counterfeit Christian is this. This is David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of the summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Do you see David's struggle with sin? Man, he couldn't sleep. He was groaning. He was struggling. God's hand was heavy upon him. His strength was dried up until what? Until he confessed his sin. And we acknowledged it and looked at sin and didn't justify it. God came in and cleansed him. Do you see the difference now? So I'm not saying that if you see, when I talk about some darkness here, that you're going to say, oh, I do that. That means I'm not saved. No, I'm not saying that. But if you're doing it and you're just okay with it and there's no conviction and you keep walking in darkness, then maybe you are a counterfeit Christian. Or do we need to be honest with ourselves? I know it's not a fun subject. I don't like, it's not fun talking about this. But I think so much we just think, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus died, buried, rose from the dead. Doesn't the Bible say that? Yes, but it also says that you must confess him as Lord, which means that you follow him. Because the big difference, too, between a true Christian and a counterfeit Christian is this. One repents, turns away towards God, while the other one feels worldly sorrow. I feel bad, but I should be doing that. But then they just continue going the way they go. There's a difference, because it says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, while worldly grief produces death. Are you walking as a child of light or darkness? The scary thing is this, when I read this verse, it says, John says in 1 John 1:6, If we say we have fellowship with him, this is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's kind of, that's like a knife sticking out, make us look. We say we have, oh, I know God. Yet we walk in darkness when we're supposed to be walking as children of light. Then we're lying to ourselves. We need to walk as children of light. And here in Ephesians, Paul describes some of the sins that children of darkness do. Sexual immorality and all impurity. He says, no filthiness or foolish talking or covetousness, coveting, yearning greedily for what someone else has. You yearn for it so much that it becomes an idol. It's something that you place before God. Do you see any of these in your life? For a moment, I want to talk. Is there no kids here? Okay. No, about sexual immorality and impurity. A true believer cannot be okay with sex outside of marriage. Because I came from a strong Christian family, that was no doubt in my mind. I knew. If I decided not to, I would know it was. But here, it's so funny, when I came here, it's like so many people think it's okay. Like, I could be a Christian, yet over here, oh God, it's no big deal about this. And we're going to see next week, when I talk about marriage, why it's so important to God that sex stays inside of marriage. Because it's a model of Christ, and Christ as being our groom, and us the bride. It's a model, and when we don't, we break the model that God has. But here, I don't know, it's like people think that, oh, I can love God, but I'll just go out there and dishonor my sister and brother in Christ or whatever, and I'm okay. It's not okay. As we walk, as we talk about, like in our next passage, we will see in marriage God's reason for why it must stay within marriage. Because when we go outside the model of marriage and intimacy, we pervert sex as God designed it to be in the harmony of a relationship between a man and a woman. You know what? Sex, as I was telling the youth, is his idea. I mean, what's the kind of thing? Sex, you kind of think I'm going to talk about something in a dark place. God designed it. It was his whole thought and idea. And so because he came up with it, he says, I want it within this one, and this is why. And that's a separate teaching on itself. Because sex outside of marriage isn't love. It can be an expression of love, but if you truly love a person, you will echo God, and God tells us to keep it in the marriage relationship. Because what does Paul say in Ephesians 5:5? You may be sure of this, that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, which is idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
God is calling us to walk as children of light, not darkness.
I'm happy not talking about darkness anymore. God's word talks about it, so we need to talk about it. God wants us to walk as children of light, to echo God.
I see areas in my life I do not echo God. I'm not somebody very patient. I can grumble and complain, and that totally displeases my God. And I have to confess it and repent before God. What area of your life that maybe is darkness, they're like, I need to lay before God and say, God, forgive. Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And because he loves us, he must expose darkness. If you're sick and you don't take the medicine, you're not going to get better. He says, you know what? I know it's painful to look at darkness, but if we look at it honestly, there's a difference between the Christian and the so-called Christian. The Christian will be, God will convict, but there's no condemnation, there's hope. If you want to know what's from God in your life, when God convicts you of something, he convicts it, he makes it clear, but there's hope. Come to me. And if you have that condemnation, you know you've done something bad, and the devil, like, oh, you bad, God's not going to love you, and he starts accusing you. That's not the devil. That's not God. That's the devil.
What we are to do when God convicts us, the first thing we do
is we need to repent. We confess that sin. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I keep short accounts with God all the time. Because if I don't, at the end of the week, I'd be doing it a long time. If I say, God, forgive me. I've done this with my wife. Forgive me for being impatient, love. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you with finances. God, forgive me. And I just start going through daily, practically, mainly throughout the week. I just mainly say, God, forgive me. I keep short accounts with God. What about you? Are you keeping short accounts so we could walk as a child of light? Are we echoing God? We can't do it of ourselves. The only way we could truly echo God is when we spend time with our God. Because then we begin to mimic, to copy, to follow, to be like God. Sunday mornings aren't enough. We must spend time with him. Because we fall in love with him, we obey him. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. If we don't love him, we don't do what he says. Maybe we challenge, and as we have the worship team come forward, will you take a moment this morning if there's something in your life? Remember, God is love. His hands are like this. He wants to welcome us.